Diva Kodja, Ishmisher, Joe Ballard, Thoughtful Rise with the Air Claw Sounds Irish. Hello, friends. I'm Joe Ballard, and I'd like to welcome you to this programme, Sounds Irish. On this programme, you'll hear all types, styles, and genres of Irish music: traditional, folk, ballads, country and Irish, and old time Irish songs, with vocals and instrumentals, along with some information about Irish culture, geography, and history. So why not stay and listen and enjoy an Irish stew of songs and music and chat with me, Joe Ballard. Hello, friends, and welcome to the programme. I hope you're going to stay with me and enjoy some of the material I've got lined up for you on this week's Sounds Irish. First of all, just to let you know that this is a pre-recorded programme, so you can't contact me while I'm on air. But as I tell you every week, you can contact me by email at any time. everton274@sky.com. everton274@sky.com. And put the words Sounds Irish in the subject line if you've got a request, a dedication, a comment, an observation, or a question to ask. I hope you're going to enjoy this programme. I've had a really great time putting it together. We've got lots of favourites on today's programme, but also versions, songs you may have heard before, but maybe versions of the songs that you may not have heard before. You know, I've been very lucky. I've managed to see many countries in the world today. As part of my work with the National Council for the Blind, from about 1990 to the year 2000, about 10 years or so, I was involved in fundraising, and we formed a group called the Blazing Saddles. We were a group of cyclists who did fundraising cycles not only around Ireland, but around Europe, around the US, around Australia. And we finished up the final one, well, my final one, was in the year 2000 when we cycled from San Diego right across America to Charlestown in South Carolina. A distance of about 3,000 miles, and I'm still standing up. I was on a tandem, of course, but why I'm telling you this is because everywhere we went, we Irish were made really welcome. And of course, in most of the big cities that I've been in, and that's London, Liverpool, New York, Boston, Los Angeles, Sydney, there's always been an Irish pub, right, where all the Irish people congregate, not only at weekends, but during the week. Here, we're starting off with the High Kings, and they're telling us, well, they're giving us a list of the Irish pubs in cities around the world.
Well, you're walking through a city street, you could be in Peru, and you hear a distant calling and you know it's meant for you. Then you drop what you are doing and you join the merry mob, and before you know just where you are, you're in an Irish pub. They've got one in Honolulu, they've got one in Moscow too, they got four of them in Sydney and a couple in Kathmandu. So whether you sing or pull a pint, you'll always have a job, 'cause wherever you go around the world, you'll find an Irish pub. Now that design is fairly simple, and it usually works the same. You'll have Razor Houghton scoring in the Ireland-England game, and you'll know you're in an Irish pub the minute you're in the door, for a couple of boys with borons will be more than Christy Moore. They've got one in Honolulu, they've got one in Moscow too, they got four of them in Sydney and a couple in Kathmandu. So whether you sing or pull a pint, you'll always have a job, 'cause wherever you go around the world, you'll find an Irish pub. Now the owner is Norwegian, and the manager comes from Cork, and the lad that's holding up the bar says only he just work. He was born and bred in Bolton, but his nanny's from Kildare, and he's got to make his fortune soon and move to County Clare. They've got one in Honolulu, they've got one in Moscow too, they got four of them in Sydney and a couple in Kathmandu. So whether you sing or pull a pint, you'll always have a job, 'cause wherever you go around the world, you'll find an Irish pub.
Now for me to go, I have to catch me train. So I'll leave you sitting at the bar and face the wind and rain. But I'll have that pint you owe me if I'm not gone on the dry. When we meet next week in Frankfurt in the fields of Athenry. They've got one in Honolulu, they've got one in Moscow too. They got four of them in Sydney and a couple in Kathmandu. So whether you sing or pull a pint, you'll always have a job. Cause wherever you go around the world, you'll find an Irish pub. Hey! They got one in Honolulu, they got one in Moscow too. They got four of them in Sydney and a couple in Kathmandu. So whether you sing or pull a pint, you'll always have a job. Cause wherever you go around the world, you'll find an Irish pub. Wherever you go around the world, you'll find an Irish pub.
And as one who doesn't drink, I've been in quite a number of Irish pubs around the world. I can remember one particular Sunday morning. We cycled into Stuttgart, I think it was, somewhere in Germany. And the group of us, we very early in the morning, we had breakfast. And we were shown to a place, I can't remember the name of it, but it was an Irish pub. And we had one wonderful ballad session that went on for hours and hours. And that was the High Kings telling us all about the Irish pub. Wherever Irish people get together, they get themselves into the Irish pub. Okay, we move on because now we want to tell you about Ring's End. Now, first of all, a little personal thing here. My wife, Sarah, she is from Ring's End. That's where she was born and raised. Ring's End is, well, it was once a fishing village outside of Dublin, but now, well, it's ensconced in the greater Dublin area. It was at Ring's End that Oliver Cromwell landed when he invaded Ireland all those centuries ago. And the people of Ring's End, they're very, what we Irish call, clannish. They stick together. Believe it or not, anybody outside of the village is always known, or for years were always known, as foreigners. But Ring's End is a lovely little Irish village. Well, no, that's not true, Joe. Now it's a district of Dublin, but at one time it was a beautiful, lovely Irish fishing village. Why am I telling you this? Because Tara Folk are going to sing about a lovely girl from Ring's End, Ring's End Rose. And the song opens with the line, in Irish Town. Now, Irish Town was a district of Ring's End, if you're still with me. Tara Folk and Ring's End Rose.
In Irish Town, there lived a girl, fairer than flower I am wearing, Rose Donahue, all fresh and new, and I loved her past all caring, and there she goes, my Ring's End. God's garden, there's none rarer, and there she goes, my Ring's End Rose. Dublin town has seen none fairer, sweet 17. My seamstress queen, she's no bigger than a thimble, soft satin skin, street Arabs grin, and she makes my world so simple. And there she goes, my Ring's End Rose. In God's garden there's none rarer, and there she goes, my Ring's End Rose. Dublin town has seen none fairer. The yards of lace I'll walk with grace, and the golden ring she's asking. Safe and slow, but still I know that her love is everlasting. And there she goes, my rings and rose in God's garden there.
Folk there telling us all about Ringsend Rose. And just by way of something to add to that, a little more information about Ringsend. In the old days, of course, when it was a small village, the men would join the fishing fleet and they would go out fishing. The women, when the young girls would stay at home, and they would, well, become seamstresses. They would become dressmakers or working sewing factories, as they were called. Hence, there's a line in that saying, my seamstress queen. And that was the way they made their livelihood in those days. I don't think it's quite like that today. Now, it's Brendan O'Dowda time, and I've got a number of Brendan O'Dowda favourite tracks, but this one really gets to me. Even today, we're losing a lot of our young people. I've told you about this quite often on Sounds Irish, because we're having a huge hemorrhage of young people going to places like England, the US, mainly Australia and Canada at the moment, because Ireland is going through a depression. And, well, there's no work for the youngsters here at home, so they venture forth into other lands. Here's Brendan O'Dowda giving us the story of parents, a father and a mother, and they're left on the farm, and they're reminiscing about when the children were there, and they're thinking, you know, there's nobody here now but us, and life is so lonely since the childer went away. This is a word that you quite often hear in Ireland. They don't say children, they say childer. Well, the older folk do, or they used to. And life is so lonely since the childer went away. And I've said so often on Sounds Irish, listen to the lyrics. They tell a lovely but sad story.
Slip drawing water, me old man at the plough. No grown-up son or daughter, that's the way we're farming now. No work and little pleasure was the cry before they went. Now they're getting both full measure, so I ought to be content. Great wages men are given in that land beyond the sea, but 'tis lonely, lonely living when the children. Thank you.
is good, there's no one better, and the devil might be worse. Each month there comes a letter, bringing something for the purse. And the old man's heart rejoices when he reads they're doing fine. But it's all to hear their voices and to feel their hands in mine. To see the cattle driving and the young ones making hay. It is a lonely land we live in when the children is away. When the shadows do be falling on the old man there and me, 'tis hard to keep from calling, coming childer to your tea. I can almost hear them coming, Mary Kate and little Con. Och, but I'm the foolish woman, sure they're all grown up and gone. That her sins may be forgiven and not one go astray, sure I doubt I'd stay in heaven if them childer was away, if them childer was.
And I'm sure in today's world, even now, there are many parents sitting at home thinking how lonely it is since the childer went away. However, it's a lot easier today than it used to be, because quite often when youngsters went away to foreign lands, they never came home, or they never saw them again, or they might get a letter at Christmas time. But now with all this technology, youngsters can talk to mum and dad on Skype every night, and it's a lot easier and quicker to get home from the US, from England, and even from Australia. Not quite as bad, but it can still be very lonely. And I'm sure it's lonely for the youngsters as well when they're away. And still in a sort of an emigration mood, here's one of my favourite stars, Johnny McAvoy, and he's telling us again about emigration and the shores of America.
I'm bidding farewell to the land of my youth and the homes I love so well, and the mountains grand of my own native land. I'm bidding them all farewell. With an aching heart I'll bid them adieu, for tomorrow I sail far away, o'er the raging foam, for to seek a home on the shores of America. It's not for the want of employment I'm going, it's not for the love of fame, that fortune bright may shine over me and give me a glorious name. It's not for the want of employment I'm gone on this weary and stormy sea, but to seek a home for my own true love on the shores of America. And when I am bidding my last farewell, the tears like rain will blind, to think of my friends in my own native land and the homes I'm leaving behind. Ah, but if I'm to die on a foreign land and be buried so far, far away. No fond mother's tears will be shed o'er my grave on the shores of a merry cave.
Johnny McAvoy telling us all about the shores of a merry Kay. Now, they call it a merry Kay because it rhymes with a lot of, it's easier to rhyme. Call it poetic license, if you will. Right up to the north of Ireland now, to Belfast in County Antrim, and it's the Irish Rovers, and they're singing a Belfast street song for us here. I'll tell me ma, when I go home, the boys won't leave the girls alone. Nothing changes.
The girls alone, to build my hair, to sew my coat, but that's all right till I go home. She is handsome, she is pretty, she is the belle of Belfast City. She is Gordon 1, 2, 3. Please, won't you tell me who is she?
Albert Mooney says he loves her. All the boys are fighting for. They're up at the door, they're ringing the bell, saying, oh, my true love, are you well? Out she comes as white as snow, rings on her fingers, bells on her toes. And Jenny Murray said she'll die, she doesn't get the fella with her open eye.
Hey, tell me, ma, when I go home, the boys won't leave the girls alone. They'll blow my hair, they sew my comb, but that's all right till I go home. She is handsome, she is pretty, she is the belle of Belfast City. She is Gordon 1, 2, 3, please won't you tell me who is she?
From the sky, she's as nice as apple pie. She'll get her own man by and by. When she does get a lad of her own, she won't tell her ma when she gets home. Let them all come out, they will burn it down. But Mooney, she loves still.
I tell me ma, when I go home, the boys won't leave the girls alone. They blow my hair, they sew my comb, but that's all right till I go home. She is handsome, she is pretty, she is the belle of Belfast City. She is Corbin 1, 2, 3. Please, won't you tell me who? I tell me ma, when I go home, the boys won't leave the girls alone. They pull my hair, they sew my comb, but that's all right till I go home. She is handsome, she is pretty, she is the belle of Belfast City. She is Gordon 1, 2, 3. Please, won't you tell me who is she?
For many, many centuries, Ireland was ruled by England, and during the course of time, there were many uprisings when the people said, well, hang on a minute, we want our own government, we want our own land to ourselves, we don't want to be ruled by England. Most of the time, unfortunately, these uprisings failed. Here's one such story from the Rising of 1798. And it tells the story of Boula Vogue. Boula Vogue is a village in County Wexford. And there was an uprising which was led in the area by the local priest, Father Murphy. And to gather all his people together, they set the heather on fire so that people would all congregate together to attack the British yeomen. And at first it was a success and they began to win battles. But then, of course, they were untrained peasants. Most of them were fighting against the yeomen who had arms. Most of these people had cudgels and swords and pikes and what have you, and some of them even rocks. So it was bound for failure. But Father Murphy, he led them on. And this is the story of Boula Vogue, sung for us by John McNally.
Setting o'er the bright May meadows of Shelmaline, a rebel hand set the heather ablazing and brought the neighbors from Father Murphy from out Kilcomock spurred up the rocks with a warning cry. Armagh, he said, for I've come to lead you, for Ireland's freedom we'll fight or die. The coming soldiers and the cowardly yeomen he put to flight. 'Twas at the Harrow the boys of Wexford showed Bucky's regiment how men could fight. Look out for hirelings, King George of England, search every kingdom where Green's a slave. For Father Murphy from the county Wexford sweeps o'er the land like a mighty wave. Took Father Murphy and bound his body upon the rack. God grant you glory, brave Father Murphy,
strident tones there of John McNally telling us all about Bool of Old and what happened in 1798. Cayley dancing, a Cayley. I don't know whether I've ever explained this fully enough for you on Sounds Irish. Ireland has its own type of dancing, as most countries have. But in the early days, in the rural areas of Ireland, they didn't have big dance halls. They used to dance at the crossroads. Everybody used to congregate on a Sunday evening after the benediction or whatever service there was, and they would gather at a crossroads and they would make up their own dances. They had jigs and reels and hornpipes and set dances, and they would form lines up and down. It wasn't just a couple dancing together as you and I imagine. It wasn't anything like ballroom dancing, but it was a special type of dancing. Now, similar to the dancing, country dancing that they have in England and Scotland and other countries as well, Irish Cayley music was made up mainly of reels, jigs and hornpipes and set dances. And the Cayley band was formed. In the old days, there was just the fiddle player or the pipe player, or even the tin whistle player where there was nobody else around. But then these groups got together and they formed themselves into Cayley bands. And they were very, very popular. Then the village built a hall and the Cayley was moved indoors. And it was then that the Cayley bands came into their own. Now here's a very old recording of a wonderful band called the Ardellis Cayley Band. And they're playing some reels for us.